This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
To say I'm thrilled to be here would be an understatement. I look forward to this event every year, time that we honor our 2015 National Student Poets. Don't they look good? They look good. Bow ties.
That is First Lady Michelle Obama at the White House introducing the current class of National Student Poets. That's the nation's highest honor for young poets. Eileen Huang is one of only 5 students chosen from nearly 20,000 submissions. So what is expected of a National Student Poet? Well, Eileen is touring schools and libraries here in New Hampshire, and we are lucky to have her with us during April, National Poetry Month. And Eileen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thank you.
So
I'm
glad you're here.
Excited to be here.
Well, we're really glad to have you here. Now, I was reading up on you, and I found that you attend a high technology high school in New Jersey. It's a STEM school. How did you discover poetry? We normally think of them existing in separate universes.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a funny story, and it's weird that my school is literally called High Tech High School, which is probably the worst name for a school ever.
Not named by a poet, I could tell you that.
Definitely. It's kind of a funny story, actually. I started off not really liking poetry as a kid, but I read a lot. And one day I was in my middle school library and I came across this anthology of poems from Keats to like Ginsberg and all those like newer poets. And I instantly became hooked and I was like, hey, if they can write this, maybe I can. And I tried out some poetry and I ended up writing a lot. And then once I started writing it, I kind of got the hang of it and felt like it was probably the best way to explain my emotions and to make them more tangible.
So you were hooked. Was it one poem, one line, everything?
My first poem that I ever like seriously read through was probably Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken. And I'd seen it before, but it'd always be at like Barnes & Noble and I see like the magnet that says, I chose the road less traveled and that has made all the difference. And I was like, oh, that's some like cheesy stuff. But I read this poem through and I tried to like analyze it and I started to realize that maybe it's like more nuanced than that and it's more meaningful and it's more about like the choices we make and whether or not they really hold any gravity. And I thought that aspect was really interesting, and the fact that it was conveyed through poetry, something I previously thought was like this unattainable art form that was only reserved for like elite professionals. The fact that it came through that and poetry was the vessel to tell this story, I thought that was really fascinating.
So you're also from a family of engineers. Now, what did they think of this poetry thing that you caught on to?
Oh, yeah. My parents are really supportive. They're really proud of me.
Are they both engineers?
They're both engineers. And I grew up like surrounded by a lot of engineering influences like math and science. A lot of my friends also like math and science. And my parents actually didn't really know what this program was at first. I told them I'd been selected as a National Student Poet and they're like, oh, OK, that's cool. Didn't really know what it was. But then like we were sitting one row behind the First Lady, like right behind her. And I think that's probably when it hit them. They were like, oh, wait, this matters.
Well, what does it mean actually to be a National Student Poet? You're one of 5 who are chosen. Now, what do you do?
So the National Student Poets Program is the nation's highest honor for youth poets presenting original work. And basically, 5 students are chosen from different regions of the country. There's like the Southwest, Northeast, West region. I'm the Northeast National Student Poet. So I go around in my community and region and teach poetry workshops or kind of promote this love for humanities and arts. I've actually been working on a community service project where I go to middle schools and help kids there learn how to love poetry and appreciate it as much as I did, like when I found that anthology of poems. Mm-hmm. I just hope to kind of inspire that kind of passion in kids my age or younger.
I'm wondering how you do it. I mean, you obviously hadn't been gripped by poetry in middle school, so how do you work with the kids? How do you inspire them?
I think the reason that so many kids are turned like away from poetry is because the way it's taught to them or the way they've been exposed to it is not that interesting to them. I remember like reading earlier poems in high school or whenever, when the poetry is like this common core thing and it's like required and it's like all these old poems that, you know, students can't really connect to. Like, can you really relate to like Milton? Can you really relate to all those epic sonnets or whatever? And I always felt really detached from it. But once you start reading modern poetry, and I recently started reading poetry written by people who are not even that much older than me, like they're younger poets, new contemporary poets, and you think, wow, this really resonates with me. So one thing I do with middle schoolers and even with high schooler students is show them poems that I'm interested in and not just poems that they're like forced to or required to learn. And I think just by sharing that and kind of opening people up to something they've never experienced before makes them really interested in it. And usually when I teach workshops, I get like one kid who's like super excited about poetry afterwards, which is really great for me.
How old are you?
I'm 16 right now.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the poems that you use with these kids that you're excited about?
I just used Wild Geese by Mary Oliver with a few students in high school, and they seem to have liked it. And I also used Billy Collins' poems, and I say this a lot, but I like to think of him as like the Pixar of poetry because, you know, adults and children really like him a lot because he's so funny, yet serious and thoughtful at the same time. And there are a lot of like actual meanings behind his poems. So I think by showing students or by showing kids that poetry can be funny, poetry can be meaningful, poetry can be relatable is what makes it such a like important vessel and important genre for students to study.
So that you said one kid you often feel like kind of gets it. Do the kids connect? How do you know that they're in there? How do you know that it's touching them?
I think, well, it doesn't work for everyone. And obviously, my poetry workshops are definitely far from perfect. Like, sometimes I'll see kids, like, on their iPhones. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, stop, listen to me. But I think, like, afterwards, there'd always be that one kid who comes up and says, like, thank you so much. Or, like, wants to, like, take a selfie with me. And I'm not saying that to brag or anything, but just to show that it makes me so happy just to see people really appreciate poetry and what it's done for them.
Well, if I may say, Eileen, 16 years old, one of five chosen in the country, I think you can brag. You have every right to brag. Would you like to share a poem of yours?
Yeah, sure. I have my poetry from the National Student Poets chapbook with me. I'll share Confluence. This is a poem I wrote a long time ago. And I wrote it because when I was younger, I went to a boarding school in China, and it was this all-Chinese boarding school, and I was in a class with all Chinese students, and everyone thought I was just a Chinese student who was really stupid because I couldn't really speak any Mandarin. But one part of the class was they had us write and recite or memorize these ancient Chinese poems, and I think I was memorizing so much to the point where it was like stuck in my head, and I wrote this poem about them. It's called Confluence. Tang Dynasty poems are four lines each. Breaks between cadences, each character a curve, iron hook, slicing black scissor slashes against textbook paper. I am no Li Bai, for instead of wine, I drink the laws of thermodynamics, and I pass time under the home screen of a Nokia rather than moonlight. The foot of my bed, nothing more than a scuffing of crushed cockroaches. I do not need lullabies when I can recite stanzas in my sleep. They're four-beat, jumping voices, buzzing like dragonflies in hollow ear canals. They speak of rivers, looping islands, yellow-brown mud sloshing behind rocks in the shapes of warriors who jumped across gorges in pursuit of wild tigers. I press knees against littered plastic bags and feel them crunch like insects under bare feet. I do not need to pretend that I am standing at the edge of a river, one toe in the flowing mud, arm resting against the sandbanks. And I do not need blankets when I have the lisping voices of Su Song to sing me to sleep.
That's Eileen Huang. She's reading Confluence, her poem there. You say, I'm no Li Bai. Isn't that an ancient Chinese poet, right?
Yeah,
one of the most famous.
Yeah.
But it's so funny listening to that. You read that here, you know, about being in Beijing and not speaking perfect Chinese. You know, the experience that so many people have here as immigrants, first-generation Americans, you know, not being able to speak the language. Do you meet a lot of those students when you're doing your workshops?
I haven't actually done any workshops with students who practice English as a second language. but that's something I'd definitely be interested in because just going to China and just not really knowing the culture there and knowing how to speak the language fluently was a bit overwhelming for me. And I found that by having people support me and by having people help me, if I didn't know how to pronounce something or when I was like ordering something at Starbucks and I didn't know how to say like Frappuccino in Chinese, having that person in line just tell me how to say it and help me through it really kind of made my stay there a lot better and a lot more meaningful. So I definitely like to help students who don't have English as their first language. And I think that art and poetry is a great way to reach those students.
So now you thinking about being a poet for your life? I mean, is this a vocation that you want to pursue? And how would your parents feel about that?
My parents would be supportive of me no matter what I do, but I think I'm probably too young to decide at this point. And a lot of people ask me that question. My answer is always, I don't know, because I'm still definitely figuring it out. But I think having this award and having this honor and having this experience of going out and meeting other students who are equally passionate about poetry as I am has really opened up my eyes to a lot more opportunities. Like before this, I was kind of like, oh, I'll probably just grow up and be like a doctor or a lawyer or someone. But I think having this opportunity and having this experience has opened up so many more doors for me.
Well, you don't have to decide yet. And thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Eileen Huang, she's a sophomore at High Technology High School in New Jersey and one of five students in the 2015 class of National Student Poets. She's been touring the state doing workshops at schools and libraries here in New Hampshire. You'll find much more about the prestigious program. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.